Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Throughout this week, we have talked about nervous breakdowns, mental breakdowns, mental health crises, and how we get our life back to normal.
Right.
The goal, as you've said a couple of times this week, the goal is to get back to normal.
That's right. Because what we're talking about here are, we introduced this at the beginning of the week, when we said that most people don't really have a psychiatric illness,
right,
but we all encounter little crises mm-hmm. in our lives right. periodically. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be a physical illness of a partner
right.
or a friend. But we all experience little, what should we call them, some turmoil
yeah.
that could upset us and throw us off. And we use the term nervous breakdown or mental breakdown for those times when we're really knocked off our feet for a while.
Right.
You know, it's not a technically a psychiatric illness that we're dealing
right.
with, but it's more than just a case of the blues.
Right.
All right. Technically, there's no diagnosis of
right.
mental breakdown or nervous breakdown, but it's used mm-hmm. commonly in common parlance. And so we're talking about those times when you really get the pins knocked out from under you and you need a few days to collect
right.
yourself. Usually you can do that at home. Sometimes you might even need a brief hospital stay just
mm-hmm.
to pull yourself back together.
Right.
So we're talking about that sort of breakdown.
Right.
All right. And the idea is you have to get back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've been talking about all week is once you struggle with one of these things, how do you get back to normal?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so today we're going to focus on, you know, kind of summarize some of the things we've talked about this week, but also kind of talk about ways in which we can prevent future episodes.
You That's know, right.
Learning what it is that kind of can trigger
mm-hmm.
Such an episode, such an
right.
experience, and work to prevent that.
And I'm glad we're doing that. What we're doing today is sort of an overview of what we've been talking about all week.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of repetition here, but the focus today is going to be on prevention. You
right.
know, now that you've accomplished getting back to normal, one of the things you're going to want to do is to prevent these from happening
right.
in the future. Now, you can't control everything,
right.
and bad things will continue to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many things that you can do to prevent
right.
a recurrence of these kind of breakdowns. And
right.
that'll be today's emphasis. But I'm glad we have a chance to sort of pull all this back together.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a terrific article that
yeah.
we're pulling much of this from Counselista.
Right.
And the link is in the show notes. There's actually a couple of links in the show notes, but another one is from Bridges to Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But we really like this one from Counselista, though, and we're going to pull a lot of stuff from there.
Right.
It's a longer article, lots and lots of links and resources embedded within the article.
Right.
Definitely
mm-hmm.
encourage you to check it out and read through it. I'm eager to learn more about this website. And some of the
mm-hmm.
contributors because they have some really.
She did a very good job. A woman, sort of Ellie Pryor, I think
mm-hmm.
is her name. Does a real good job of organizing. It's very well organized, and I was going through some of the links,
mm-hmm.
and it's really, really good information. It's carefully
right.
chosen, very readable, and really valuable
right.
information that she embeds in the website.
Yeah.
But it's lengthy because there are lists of things.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've talked about what a nervous breakdown is. We've talked about, you know, how
mm-hmm.
this can happen. You know, one of the big questions, and she addresses it here, is how long does it take to recover?
Right.
And
right.
and I think that that's a great question that we really haven't talked about this week,
yeah.
because, you know, how long is it going to be before you get back to normal?
Right.
How long is it going to be before you can get back to work or back to
mm-hmm.
your sort of normal routine?
Right.
And it depends. Unfortunately, I hate giving that response, but it does depend.
Well, it does. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday when we talked about return to work.
Yeah.
You know, when can I return to work? Well, there are many, many factors involved in making that decision. How serious was your setback?
Mm-hmm.
How serious was the breakdown? How well are you doing? Are you able to handle something? You have to get to work, driving or taking public transportation. So it really depends on what your job is. You know, if you're sitting at a desk where you can take frequent breaks, and you're working privately, that's one thing. If you're a 911 operator, it may be longer because of the nature of your work. If you're a teacher, you know, of elementary school students, very active elementary school students, it could take a little longer than if you, or if you're a brain surgeon, you know, or any kind of surgeon, be careful. Whereas if you're sitting in a room doing chart notes, it's probably okay to return. You know, so there are many factors that go into the decision. And it's very good to get the advice of others. You know, are you really ready to return, given how significant the breakdown was, and what you're going to be expected to do when you return to work?
One way to help with the process, and we've talked about this. This is part of what we've talked about over the course of the week, is starting to take care of your health and your routines and those kinds of things. If you you are deteriorating, you are struggling, you're not functioning very well, and so you're taking some time away. The most important thing that you can do at that point is start working towards getting back your health by, trying to eat well, trying to sleep well, exercising, managing stress, doing some of those things that we talked about back on Tuesday's podcast of this week. Because when you get those things back in sync, it's going to help you start feeling better and start recovering. Same thing with routines and schedules. The breakdown is going to make you want to change your routines. It's going to make you want to sleep more. It's going to make you want to be less active, less involved. So one of the things that you can do to help get out of it is battle that by, having a good sleep-wake cycle and getting involved and getting out there. As difficult as it is, again, I have complete empathy for that challenge. But it's, that's the ideal treatment.
I would guess, and it's really a guess, but an educated guess, if you've had a breakdown, you're going to be tired. If it's a manic episode, which is, we'd put in the category of a breakdown, you're going to be tired, and you're not going to be highly motivated. You're not going to feel like, okay, let me get back at it. You're not going to feel that. You're going to feel tired. You're going to feel fatigued. You're going to be a little bit apprehensive. Maybe even fearful about returning. So those are all going to be normal feelings, but anticipate that you're going to feel tired.
Absolutely. So, that's all of those things are going to help you expedite your ability to return to work and return to life as usual. But, there's a few things that are recommended here in the this article about recovering, and then of course preventing
recovery and preventing.
And she has three things listed.
That's right, and that's what I like about this is that she really distills it to three things, and I like that she keeps it simple. I mean, you just have to do these three things.
The first thing is treat the symptoms. It's sort of what we were just talking about. Treating the symptoms, looking at what's going on, looking at what the breakdown or the crisis is making you change. If you were living a healthy lifestyle before, and you're having this breakdown because of a tremendous amount of stress being piled on you because of some crisis or something like that, and that's shifting your healthier habits, you have to treat those symptoms. And so you treat those symptoms by getting back to your routine and eating well and sleeping well and those things.
And it may be medication. You may want to take a small amount of medication to sort of quiet things a little bit. So the first thing is deal with the symptoms. The second thing is...
The second thing is dealing with the contributing factors.
The contributing factors that got you there. And the third thing is...
improving your lifestyle.
So we're going to talk about the first, which is treating the symptoms.
And she has this great list of eight ways to treat the symptoms. She talks about natural remedies. She talks about, meditation and even things like hypnosis and things like that. Now, certainly those hypnosis, for example, isn't a strategy that's going to work for everything.
Right. Or for everybody.
Right. But the thing with hypnosis, there's a lot of, maybe we should do a podcast on hypnosis sometime.
I think.
Just to kind of talk about what it is. You know, we think about it as, walking around like a chicken.
Entertainment.
Yeah,
nightclub or TV sort of comedy where people are eating onions and they think it's an apple and they act like animals, you know, and do weird, bizarre things.
Right. But when you use hypnosis sort of clinically, it's more along the lines of, it's almost along the lines of meditation. And sort of suggestibility and sort of changing some underlying thoughts and beliefs and perspectives.
And it has been useful in this return. But there's also something called self-hypnosis.
Right.
So if you don't trust that somebody else will do it, there are some things called self-hypnosis. But you're right. I think they're closely tied to meditation.
Right.
Okay. And yoga and mindfulness, but mainly meditation. So, but keep it on the list.
Right.
But this is a place where, homeopathic treatments might be really, really helpful because you're not going to have to deal with side effects or waiting. Mm-hmm. And this could be a time when you want to investigate, are there some home remedies that I might be able to use that have been shown to be very, very successful?
Right.
Again, you're only going to take them for a short time.
And again, we're not talking about a mental illness.
No.
So if you're feeling very stressed and overwhelmed, it may be worth getting some kava and having kava tea or something like that for a few days just to help bring down and bring that calmness.
Sam E. is another one.
Yeah.
St. John's Wort. These are all little things that you can get. Mm-hmm. They're pretty available. That might bring you some, chamomile, lavender, aromatherapy. So a number of things you can do that would help calm you.
Right.
Epsom salts, baths and things.
Yeah.
That will keep you calm, keep you under control. So don't overlook those and don't poo-poo them because they might turn out to be very helpful.
Sure. Some of the things that she mentions for recovery and dealing with the symptoms is to track your recovery. And I like that because I always like the idea of monitoring progress. Mm-hmm. So if you're wanting to get back to a normal sleep-wake cycle or schedule, looking at, my body's, this crisis is trying to get me to sleep throughout most of the day. But you know what? The last few days I've gotten up at, 10 o'clock. And so now I'm going to start working to get up at 9 o'clock. And, but you're tracking it and you're looking at, how you're feeling. There's some wonderful apps for like tracking your mood and tracking some of those kinds of things to make sure that you are improving.
I would look at some apps about movement and how well you're sleeping, especially how well you're sleeping. Monitor your sleep, monitor your movements. And I think you'll find over time that if you're tracking it, you'll see that you are improving.
Right.
You might not be aware of it, but if you look at your data, and even if you use a simple numerical scale of, today was a 2, which is very bad, but then you see 3s and 4s and 5s starting to accumulate. So you know you're getting better.
Yeah.
You're not back completely, but you're getting better.
Now, the last four, I think, are all kind of go together to me, and I think they're fantastic. So they include accepting that it's okay to be vulnerable, taking care of yourself, not keeping it to yourself, and accepting whatever help you can get.
Right.
So these four are all about accepting that this happens to people, the importance of taking care of yourself, and the importance of communicating with other people so that you can get the support and the security from other people that, you're not alone. Other people have dealt with these things before, and it's going to be okay.
And I really like the word vulnerable.
Right.
You're not weak. You're not ill. You're not crazy. Don't just get rid of those words, okay? But I love the word vulnerable because it moves away from there's something wrong with you to, I acknowledge that right now I'm a little sensitive.
Right.
I mean, I'm fortunate because if I do feel that way, I work with people and I can say, I'm a little tender today and everybody knows what that means, okay? Or, I had a bad day and everybody understands.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the concept. I like the word vulnerable.
Right.
because it's okay to be vulnerable. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. And being vulnerable means that it's okay to take care of yourself.
And you need to take care of yourself.
And in taking care of yourself, again, this is how they all go together. In taking care of yourself, you have to be able to communicate with other people. Again, we're social beings.
Right.
So we benefit from the life experiences and everything from others.
I think of athletes, you know, when they get injured, you know. Okay, you really want to return,
right.
But if you start throwing too hard or running too fast, you're going to re-injure yourself.
Right.
So acknowledge that you're a little bit vulnerable, that your muscles are a little vulnerable. Well, here your emotions are a little vulnerable.
Right.
Okay, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So go ahead and it's okay to be vulnerable.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, so those were, you know, dealing with the, or treating the symptoms.
Treating the symptoms, right.
The second aspect or the second component of how you recover is dealing with the cause of your meltdown.
Right.
And this gets to what we also agree is probably the most critical piece of anything that we ever deal with.
Right.
And that is, let's get to the root cause.
Mm-hmm.
We can mask it, we can cover it up, we can do all kinds of things to be able to be able to live with distress.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you really want to heal yourself,
that's right.
You have to deal with the root cause.
That's right. And we keep saying that over and over again. And one of the things that we find especially troublesome is when people take medication, but they don't want to change anything about
right.
their lives. It's like, I don't know, there are many, you know, I don't want to quit drinking every night,
right.
so I'm going to take ibuprofen in the morning to get rid of my headache.
Right.
You know, ibuprofen.
Right. Well,
it's creating another problem. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're not dealing with the issue.
Right. And as you look at that, it's like, okay, so why are you drinking every night? Well, it's because
right.
you hate your job. And okay, so the root thing is we need to figure out how to
right.
help you get another job that you like.
Right. I mean, you
that would solve all of those issues.
You can mask the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, it's the same with a physical injury. You can say, okay, well, I'm going to take this medication so I can work out harder. Well, you're still damaging your body. You just
right.
don't feel the pain.
Exactly.
Okay. So you have to deal with the root causes.
Right.
I mean, you have to eventually come to terms with those. Because if you break down completely, guess what you're going to be asked to do?
Mm-hmm.
Deal with the root causes.
Right.
We're not going to give you enough medication so that you can go back to work.
Right.
We shouldn't. We shouldn't work that way. You're going to have to deal with the root causes eventually.
Yeah.
Better to do it now.
Absolutely. So there's four things that she recommends as it relates
right.
to dealing with the root, dealing with the cause of the meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the first one is dealing with general stresses. You know, that's
managing.
The stress management.
Right.
She mentions, of course, again, self-hypnosis, but also meditation.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things that you can do to deal
right.
with or to better deal with your typical daily life stressors,
right.
but also acute stressors, that big
yeah.
things that come up out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
There are healthy ways to deal with that. And if you're prepared, if you're knowledgeable, if you're
right.
Informed on how to use those things,
mm-hmm.
then you can implement them when you need to.
Right. Yep.
The second thing that she mentions, though, is dealing with relationships or marital problems.
That's what we talked about yesterday, dealing with relationships.
It is probably one of the most common triggers
right.
for some of these meltdowns.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
right.
unhappiness in important critical relationships in our life.
If you've raised children, you have and I have, and they're teenagers, you know there are times when they're teenagers that the relationship sort of breaks
mm-hmm.
down. And it bothers you.
Yeah.
You know, that here's these people that you love more than anything in the world,
mm-hmm.
and you can't seem to get together and have a decent conversation, or maybe you don't even
right.
like them for a time. That eats away at you,
right.
okay? And so watch out for your relationships. We've talked several times on the program about the Jewish concept of the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
where you have to work out your relationship problems before you have that dinner on
mm-hmm.
Friday night. It's a great, healthy way to live, is deal with these relationship problems.
Right.
Don't let them continue week after week
right.
after week.
The third thing she mentions is very similar to number one, and that is overcoming existing
right.
anxiety and panic.
Mm-hmm.
We carry with us, and you know what, I'm gonna combine three and four together
yeah.
because I think they
right.
go together. Overcoming anxiety and panic, but also dealing
and
with trauma.
Right.
We often carry with us baggage
mm-hmm.
from previous life experiences, not previous life, like reincarnation types of things. But if you're into that, that's okay. but experiences from earlier in our life.
Right.
We tend to carry that baggage on with us, and instead of dealing with it or coping with it, we stuff it down.
And then
we get frustrated or disappointed or overwhelmed when some of that stuff starts to peek back out.
Yeah, you can keep pushing it into the background, but it's going to continue to create problems for you. So you have to deal with things like panic and trauma and all those things. You know, get that stuff out. Deal with it.
Okay? Exactly.
It's not benign. Right. It's going to cause trouble whether you realize it or not.
And this is an area where it may be beneficial to see a mental health professional.
Right.
Again, not because you have a mental illness necessarily, but because you know, these are deep, heavy things to be dealing with.
Right.
Yep. So you're dealing with the symptoms. You're dealing with the underlying cause.
Right.
And so the third thing is changing your lifestyle to prevent a recurrence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this is... you know, this is life. This is, you know, life is living healthy, living in a way that maintains homeostasis emotionally, physically, biologically, chemically, all those different ways. Life is best lived when we are doing so in a state of homeostasis.
Right.
And to do that, we get back to those core four, right? Sleeping well, eating well, exercising, managing stress. We see so many people who struggle because they're trying to live a life that they don't want to live. They're trying to maintain a job that they hate. They're trying to stay in a relationship that isn't healthy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's easy to sit back and say, well, you know, you need to change your relationship or you need to get a new job. Those are easy things to say, but they're also sort of what needs to happen.
Right. And again, most of us have been there where you say, well, I can't change jobs. It would take me 3 years to transition or have to get training. And I would say to you, you're far better off experiencing, no matter how hard it's going to be, go ahead and do that training to change your job, because until you change your job, this is going to be a recurring cycle.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, an argument or a reason, rationale, excuse that people will have sometimes is they'll say, well, for me to be able to change my job, I have to get this additional training, and I just don't have time to do the training because I work every day.
Right.
Well, you know, if you work every day, you know, 8 hours a day, which is what most people work, and 8 hours a day really turns out to be 10 or 11 hours, let's be honest. So, you know, if you have to be at work from 8 to 5, that's not 8 hours, that's 9 hours.
Right.
You may have an hour off for lunch. And then it may take you an hour or so to get ready in the morning, and then an hour to get home and settled in the
evening.
You're
using up far more than 8 hours.
So it's about 11 hours. Mm-hmm. Now, if you get home... You get off work at 5, you get home by 6, you're getting settled and you have dinner.
Right.
Yes, you're going to be tired. Yes, you still have other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But also, yes, you could spend 30 minutes studying something. Or yes, you can spend some time on the weekend, you know, reading a book for this additional training or taking a webinar for this additional training. We tend to confine ourselves to, well, work exists between 8 and 5 o'clock, you know, on weekdays.
Right.
You know, anything that I do outside of, we can't do work outside of those times.
Right.
It's that type of limiting thinking that keeps us sort of pegged into this sequence of unhappiness.
We tend to start our sentences, I can't. And then you begin to fill in, I can't because of this. Those are excuses, okay?
Or they would say, I would love to, but,
right.
And then we have reasons why. If you really want to, you will.
And if you need to, if your job is that much of a problem, then you have to change it.
Right.
Okay? It doesn't matter what you have to do.
Right.
You have to change it because otherwise it's... If you were eating a food that made you constantly sick, Dr. Korn talked about stubbing your toe every day.
Mm-hmm.
She said, when you eat sugar like that, it's like stubbing your toe every morning.
Right.
You know, and it's the same with this. If you're in a job that you hate, and it's causing you to have breakdowns, mm-hmm. you have to, there is no excuse.
Right.
If you're in a relationship that's causing you to have breakdowns, if you're being that affected by it, mm-hmm. then you have to change the relationship.
Yeah.
You don't take medication to stay in a dysfunctional, so that you can stay in a dysfunctional
right.
relationship. You don't take medication so that you can go to a job that you hate every day.
Right.
That's a Band-Aid, and that wound is going to continue to get worse.
Right. Because the underlying problem is still there.
It's still there.
And so it's still affecting you emotionally, psychologically, biologically.
Right.
It's still having a negative effect on your life.
Right.
Yes, you've covered up the acute symptoms or the conscious awareness of those symptoms.
Right.
But the distress is still there. You still know that you hate your job.
That's right. And that's why I like this article, because she said, number one, go ahead and deal with the symptoms.
Right.
But
yeah.
in sections 2 and 3, there's all these other things that you have to do.
Right.
You can't just treat the symptoms.
Right.
And that's the message that we
right.
want to get out.
Exactly. We have to we have to make the changes necessary to mm-hmm. have and live the life that makes us happy.
Right.
And it sounds superficial. It sounds silly, maybe, to say, well, you just want to live a happy life. But when we live happy lives, that's when we're making the good decisions that mm-hmm. we need to make. That's when we
right.
are enjoying the relationships that we are in. That's when we are making a difference in our lives and in the lives of others in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. when you hate your job, when you hate the relationship that you're in, when you dislike certain things about your life, that's going to be reflected in your interactions with
right.
other people and the way that you perceive or view or experience the world around you. So change is hard, but you've got to make those adjustments.
Right, that's right. And you have to go beyond symptoms. And
mm-hmm.
and if you have identified, and one of the things you should do during a breakdown mm-hmm. is identify how you got here.
Right.
You know, what
yeah, that's
what
part
got
being
me here,
right?
Right. And then you have to take action and not just cover up the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got here because I'm drinking too much and I hate my job and I'm struggling with my teenage children.
Right.
Okay. You can take medication to get through all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. But we're advising that you deal with those root causes.
Right.
If you're having trouble with your teenagers, straighten out those relationships.
Right.
If you're having trouble at work, straighten out that relationship. Do whatever you need to do so that this doesn't recur.
Right. Yeah, so the idea of prevention is taking that, what you learned in part B, I guess,
right.
of what is the root cause, and identifying ways to prevent that from happening again.
Yeah, I think the important difference here with a breakdown is that a breakdown is like the canary in the coal mine.
Mm-hmm.
This is your body's way of saying something is dreadfully wrong.
Right.
This, you know, we talk about this isn't just a case of the blues where
right.
I really don't feel like going to work today, but you go and you make
yeah.
it through the day. This is a breakdown. It means things have broken down, and they break down for a reason. The canary's dead.
Right.
Okay? You're not mentally ill.
Right.
But the canary's dead, and now this is a good warning that something has to change.
Right.
And that's what we've been talking about all week. That's what she talks about in this really great website that
right.
she has here.
Yeah.
So good advice to follow. So
absolutely.
Take a look at this reading. It's really good.
Yeah.
Really,
absolutely.
Very helpful.
So let us know what you think. Let
yeah.
us know
what your
for you,
experiences,
what hasn't worked
right.
for you, and
yeah.
we'll keep working on this all together.
Right.
So,
yep.
all right, that's it for today. Then, until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you'll find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening, have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.